message to Israel. Shalom Aleichem. Peace be unto you. Shema Yisrael Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Hear, O Israel, our God, the Lord, is one. This is the voice of the message to Israel.
Shalom Aleichem. Peace be unto you, my dear friends. In our study of the great messianic passage, Isaiah 52, verse 13, through to Isaiah 53 and verse 12, we have observed the messianic servant of the Lord as a singular Savior in verses 13 to 15 of Isaiah 52. And in verses 1 to 3 of Isaiah 53, we have seen him as a sorrowful Savior. In verses 4 to 6, which comprise the third stanza of this beautiful prophetic hymn, we have the messianic servant revealed as a substitutionary, sin-atoning Savior. Seven times in these three verses, the thought of substitution is brought front and center. The emphasis is not that Messiah would come and just share humanity's burden of suffering, but that he would come and lift the burden of guilt and its effects from off the sinfully guilty and make them his very own. The thought of substitution is not uncommon in Jewish religious literature. Five times in the fourth chapter of the third book of Moses, Leviticus, there are directions given for the obtaining of God's forgiveness. The offender, seeking God's forgiveness, is directed to not only provide a lamb for a sin-atoning sacrifice, but prior to sacrificing the animal, he had to place his hands on the head of the animal. Then, with his hands on the animal's head, he would begin to confess his sin. The confession of sin, while placing the hands on the sacrificial animal's head, symbolically transferred the guilt of the offender to the animal. The animal was then ceremonially sacrificed as an atonement unto the Lord, an atonement that would merely cover the penitent's sin, not take it away. The removal of the sin would have to wait until the perfect sacrifice would be offered. In Leviticus chapter 16 and verse 21, we also have the thought of substitution, but this time substitution for the entire nation. The high priest Aaron is directed to take two goats, one of which was designated to be the scapegoat. That passage says, "And Aaron shall lay both his hands upon the head of the live goat, and confess over him all the iniquities of the children of Israel, and all their transgressions in all their sins, putting them upon the head of the goat, and shall send him away by the hand of a fit man into the wilderness." A number of Jewish New Testament writers have recorded the unique substitutionary, sin-atoning character of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ's death. The great messianic forerunner, John the Baptist, pointing to Jesus, declared, "Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world." Peter, one of the disciples of the Lord, wrote of his death, "Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree." The Jewish writer to the Hebrews writes, "But now once in the end of the world hath he," that is Jesus, "appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself." And then in verse 28 he states, "So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many." When the prophet says in the fourth verse, "Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows," Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. He is not just saying that Messiah would become a fellow sufferer along with the rest of humanity. The inference, rather, is that he would come and bear in himself the sin, that is, the root cause of all the pain, the suffering, and the sorrow in the world. In verse 3, the servant of the Lord is spoken of as a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. In this verse, we see that the sorrows and griefs he bore were not his own, but that which was the just burden of others. Verse 5 goes even further and expands on the thought of the substitutionary death of the messianic servant by introducing the thought of atonement. Note the four key words of verse 5. Each word speaks of the violent, sin-atoning nature of Messiah's death. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And then the last phrase, and by his stripes we are healed. The two words, wounded and bruised, are the strongest words possible to communicate the idea of the violent nature of Messiah's death. Just think of the word wounded. Here is a word that carries the idea of someone being fatally pierced through. It is often used to describe the violent death of someone on the field of battle as he is thrust through with a spear or sword, or, in modern days, a bayonet. Yeshua HaMashiach knew what it was to be pierced both by thorns, nails, and even a spear. The hymn writer W. G. Ovens penned the words of this beautiful hymn, "Wounded for me, wounded for me, there on the cross he was wounded for me. Gone my transgressions, and now I am free, all because Jesus was wounded for me. Dying for me, dying for me, there on the cross he was dying for me. Now in his death my redemption I see, all because Jesus was dying for me." The glorious results flowing from Messiah's atoning death is said to be peace and healing. Both are needed by man. He needs peace because he has been cut off from God because of his sin. For as Isaiah 57 and verse 21 declares, "There is no peace, saith the Lord, unto the wicked." Instead, he says, "They are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt." The Hebrew word translated peace is the very same word used in the common Jewish greeting, shalom. Now shalom is far more than just the cessation of armed conflict, far more than just being able to get a good night's sleep, far more than being able to be alone with yourself. It is a word that refers to the inner contentment and wholeness that comes to a person's innermost being after he is rightly related to a holy God. This kind of shalom affects a person's entire being. This kind of shalom has God as its source, and his beloved Son, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ, is the medium or the channel. The Jewish New Testament writer Paul writes of peace being secured through the death of Messiah. In Colossians 1 and 20, he says, "And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven." And again in Romans chapter 5 and verse 1 he writes, "Therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Here, my dear friends, is the answer for the never-dying problems of racism, anti-Semitism, and national and international conflict, as well as tranquility for individual troubled hearts and minds. Sin, separating this guilty sinner from God, is the basic root cause of all conflict, whether personal, racial, national, or international. Here in Isaiah 53 is the marvelous message of hope for all troubled hearts, whether Jewish or Gentile. 600 years before Messiah Jesus was born, Isaiah foretold of the substitutionary, sin-atoning nature of Messiah's death, a death that would bring about reconciliation and peace. My dear radio listener, do you have peace with God? Or does your heart continue to condemn you because of your sin? Repentance toward God and faith toward Jesus Christ is the answer. According to Isaiah, the atoning death of Messiah also results in healing. Some would have us believe that this refers to the physical healing of the body's diseases, but this does injustice to the context. The fact is, there is no greater healing than the wholeness and well-being that salvation brings when a person places his faith and trust in Yeshua HaMashiach. Quite clearly, this is the intent of the passage, for the Jewish New Testament writer Peter, writing of Christ's atoning death, said, "Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed." The intent of both Isaiah and Peter is the spiritual healing of the soul that is the result of repentance toward God and faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. That this spiritual healing may have physical effects may also be true, but one cannot claim physical healing just on the basis of Christ's atoning death. In these closing moments, think about these glorious truths. While sin separates from God, salvation in Christ restores us. While sin hinders prayer, salvation opens the door of prayer. While sin robs us of peace with God, salvation results in peace with God. While sin robs us of hope, salvation gives hope. Hope for today, for tomorrow, and for eternity. If you have any questions about your personal relationship with the Lord Jesus, please feel free to write us here at Emmanuel Center. Shalom, and may God speak to your heart. Thank you.